Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This week on the Mike Wise Show, we're on to the second round of the NBA playoffs, and an LA team is still alive, but it's not the one you think. And with Brooklyn down a man, will they have enough to overcome the Greek Freak? Stand by for answers, but first, Darlene, do your thing.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
Thanks, Darlene. We're down to the Elite Eight in the NBA playoffs, and new postseason heroes are emerging everywhere. Holla, Trae Young! Some have gone home for the summer, and others are still in for the fight. And those crowds are adding electricity to an already charged environment. Man, I couldn't believe the crowd in Dallas the other night. I couldn't believe the Knicks crowd before they got eliminated. Anyway, here to examine it all, we have my loyal wingman and my producer, Bruce Bernstein. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Mike. Great weekend of basketball. But, you know, I think this show needs a Mike Wise download on issues near and far in the NBA. Shall we start?
That's good. That's good, Bruce. Do we have breaking news?
Yes, we do. News note out of Miami, Pat Riley says he's leaving the door open for a LeBron James return to Miami. Mike, your thoughts?
I mean, this is news? I mean, I'd like to leave the door open for my salary at ESPN. It's not coming back. I'd like to leave the door open for, well, an ex-girlfriend maybe 10 years ago. She's not coming back. LeBron is not coming back to you, Pat. I get newsflash. I mean, come on. I understand LeBron James scorned Pat Riley like he's never been scorned. He still carries that torch. I was there the night at the Hall of Fame ceremony several years ago when LeBron James had almost told Pat Riley that earlier that summer, I'm not coming back. Pat Riley fell to the floor on his knees, and he called the only person, the one person that said he would take LeBron's job and he would guard LeBron. And that person was Luol Deng.
Dang.
So look, I love Pat Riley. He's basically saying, I think it would be great if you got one more title here with me. And because we're not doing it without a player of your ilk, God bless our former guest, Drago. And
Goran Dragic.
Yeah, Dragic. God bless Dragic. Bam Adebayo. I don't know. Tyler Hero, who found out that a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich and he shouldn't shoot that much. Miami's not going anywhere. You know, the only thing that saves Eric Spoelstra's job maybe over the next 2 years is LeBron coming back. I can't see him going back to Miami. But you know what? I didn't think he'd go to L.A., so what do I know?
So if Rick Pitino were here right now, he'd say something like, LeBron James ain't walking through that door.
Yeah, no. And neither is Brad Stevens as a coach, but that's another story.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that eventually. The Clippers, Mike, did they turn the corner? Are they now title ready? Is that crazy or plausible?
That's actually plausible. And I'll tell you why, Bruce. Look, what Kawhi Leonard and Paul George did in the first round against Dallas, being down 3-2, and at one point almost 3-0 when they were down 30-11 in that game three, I just think, you know, it wasn't monumental, but it did a lot going forward toward getting the monkey off their backs and the fact that they can perform in the clutch when it matters and they don't just put pretty regular season records together. I thought it was huge. I thought there were, I mean, Reggie Jackson came through. There's so many role players that you can't really put it all on them that really helped them get over the hump. But boy, Kawhi was so big when he had to be. And I look at the landscape right now, and this is why I think the Clippers could end up in the NBA Finals and who knows winning it all. James Harden's hurt. Joel Embiid looks really gimpy right now. After that injury, I don't think he looks as spry, and I don't know if Philly wins that series. And even if they did, I mean, I don't think they're unbeatable. Milwaukee is still not proven in the crucible. Yeah, they got through a first round series, they swept the Heat, but they haven't shown that they can make it through the crucible. I mean, of a 7-game series that gets really tight. And so all these things, including, AD Anthony Davis being out for the Lakers and them falling in the first round. The fact that there is no real number one team in the West, I don't think. I think Utah, I don't think they're a fraud, but I do think that I don't think they're as good as people think. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers got through them. And then you're talking Phoenix or the Nuggets. I'm thinking Phoenix is winning that series. That'd be their toughest. That'd be their toughest test. I'd love to see Chris Paul go against his old team with a chance to go to the finals. That would be some real drama.
Oh yeah.
But then if the Clippers get through that gauntlet, that's two series. Wait, I don't see why they wouldn't be favorites to win the NBA title almost, or at least, it'd be a great story, going from going from collapse to a coronation. That would be an incredible story. And I think it's plausible.
One guy who I think really kind of showed up big in game 7 for them. And again, they had a couple guys come off the bench. I mean, Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard hit a couple big, but Paul George, I mean, he's a guy who has not always done well in the postseason. I thought he had a great all around game on Sunday. And I agree with you. I mean, I see the Clippers with a very plausible path, certainly to the finals. And then, after that, look, they got Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he's a 2-time finals MVP, led two to, he can do the LeBron James hat trick, perhaps, leading three teams to the finals with three NBA Finals MVPs.
Yeah, he's already Hall of Famer, and if he never played another day in the NBA, and he's shown that he's special. And it's a good lesson for the media out there, because I had to learn this earlier in my career. A year ago, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were thought to be the worst leaders of a big time professional sports team in America. Like they just couldn't. Kawhi was too quiet. He couldn't inspire anybody. Paul George looked like he was lackadaisical, and he was just some Californian that didn't care about anything except getting 30. But the bottom line is, we find reasons to, we find these narratives about guys when they make big shots and big moments for our teams. They're the same guy. Kawhi was the same guy that led Toronto to a championship. He's the same guy that whose team fell apart last year in the bubble when they were up 3-1. There's no difference. It's just that he's making shots now. And, I hate the narrative on him. God bless Colin Cowherd. He's just been on fire, apparently, killing the Clippers and especially Kawhi. He's going to have to do a mea culpa today. I don't know if he will. He'll probably hold out until a couple more series. But anybody, any of my media brethren that writes that story, talks about that story, shut up. We just need to let these guys play. It's like I learned it when Allen Iverson, he was the biggest knucklehead in America. And all he had was a posse, which had its own racial connotations. And he was the cornrowed tattooed brother that didn't understand. He didn't get it. And then he leads the Sixers to the NBA Finals. And he's this story of heart, character, redemption. No, AI was the same guy. Heart and soul player, had a lot of issues off the court, but he was the same guy. He just happened to win games.
That's, well, you know, that's how we judge them, right?
Yeah.
You are what your record is. You are how your team does. Okay. So the Clippers, now they get to face the Jazz, who are the top overall seed, best record in the league, right? But nothing about them really seems to scream out champion in waiting, Mike. What do you think? Is that insane or are you on board with that?
I think Utah's a mirage, and you know, I'm rooting against them, not for the reasons you would think, Bruce. I hate the fact that they became like these fire orange colors. Like they almost, it's like the Suns want their uniforms back. Okay, guys. Like what is the court is red and orange now? Be like the Utah Jazz fire. No, just put me the clarinet on the floor. I don't care that you've never had any good Jazz in Utah. Give me your colors back, your whatever it is, purple and yellow, whatever you had before, you know, the green, the blue, the yellow, what, like, get rid of the, like, there's so many alternative uniforms, alternative jerseys in the NBA now. How do you even know what the original one is? I think it's weakening the brand, to be honest. I don't care about your stupid fire red court. Just like I didn't care about Oregon's super cool court that they put with trees on it. Like,
that thing looks so bad. I hate that.
Just play basketball.
The original Utah Jazz uniform actually was the New Orleans Jazz. So I think we should propose a nickname swap. New Orleans becomes the Jazz again and will become the Utah Pelicans. I mean, yes, no?
I don't think there's any Pelicans in Salt Lake
true.
Or Utah. You call them the Mormons. I mean, you know, like, I mean, shoot, we name teams after a race of people. So what the heck? No, I'm kidding.
My favorite Jazz unis were the ones that Stockton and Malone wore with the mountains in the background. I thought those were really sweet. Those were nice. And it's sort of represented
those were so
Utah
good.
Better.
The purple and white, you know, yeah. And they, yeah. I mean, I'll give you a great look. I'm not saying this Jazz franchise cannot go to the NBA Finals. I'm saying I see them as more of an underdog than a number one seed until they prove differently. You know, the regular season is the regular season. The playoffs are completely different. I want to see them prove their mettle against against the Clippers. And I also, yeah, but a great anecdote from way back when Frank Isola and I were covering the Knicks, and it was a great regular season meeting, like I want to say 97, 98, one of the Utah finals years. And they put us right next to the scores table. I mean, it was a great seat in the Delta Center at the time. That's what it was called. Mm-hmm. It was a new building. Now, this place was just, it was the loudest place in sports at that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought maybe other than, you know, the Montreal Forum during a Canadiens playoff run. But I gotta say, we're watching this game. The Knicks are up about 8 early in the fourth quarter. And Sloan, Jerry Sloan is just like, you fucking, and he just starts going off on them. Like, you know, uses the see you next Tuesday word on him, everything. I mean, it was brutal.
Wow.
And it was like, we're watching this going, oh my God, what if you're a season ticket holder? You must just, you know, don't bring your children. And all of a sudden Stockton Malone come out of the huddle and Malone's taking the ball out and he's going to give it to Stockton at midcourt, and the Knicks are kind of back, and Stockton looks at Malone. He goes, hey, he goes, yeah. He goes, let's go. Let's fucking go right now. And Malone shakes his head. He goes, all right, they get on the court. They went on like a 12-0 run. They win by like 6. I mean, it was like 2 Hall of Famers decided it's freaking time to play. It was just seeing that in person, seeing those guys have that interaction was like awesome.
Well, Stockton and Malone aren't walking through that door either, but you've got Rudy Gobert and you've got Donovan Mitchell and you've got a bunch of guys who look like they play pickup at the Y. So,
oh, stop. Engel's good, man. He can shoot from the parking lot.
Yeah, he's like that old dude at the Y who, you know, you don't take him seriously, but all of a sudden he's just raining jumpers on you. Trae Young is greater than Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson, and Calvin Murphy combined. He will be the greatest 6'2 and under guy ever to play. Hyperbole or fact, Mike Wise?
Oh, man, you got me with that one there. I, you know, I think it's hyperbole. And this is why. I don't think Trae Young is just a basketball player. I think he's going to retire greater than Jesus, Gandhi, and possibly King Kamehameha I of Hawaii. This is a player that, all right, well, okay. I confess to getting on the Trae Young bandwagon because he's just so fun to watch. I don't know if he becomes that good over his career. I don't know if his health stays. I don't know what kind of players they surround him with in Atlanta, whether he stays a Hawk, whatever. Right now, I could see him on that trajectory. I think if he's not going to be better than those guys, I see him in the category of the best little big men ever to play this game. Ever. Calvin Murphy, Nate Archibald, Isaiah Thomas. The first Isaiah Thomas, the IT, the second was, you know, a nice little player that had injuries and got shipped around a lot. But I'm telling you, I just feel like this guy has something special that it's not even a shot. It's not even his game. It's his, what do you call that French word? Je ne sais quoi. Ah. He has that special something that just emanates from it, oozes from his body, and it's the bow at Madison Square Garden. It's a blowing the kisses to the crowd. It's the putting his finger against his lips like, shh, I just quieted you bastards. I don't care how many people are in Madison Square Garden right now, you know, calling for my execution. I am silencing your crowd, including you, Spike Lee, you bastard who hasn't been in a big series since Reggie Miller.
I don't know if you ever read Phil Mushnick's column in the New York Post. Phil's kind of a bitter old guy, you know,
he's a type of guy. Oh, he makes us look like woke 20-year-olds.
He let Spike Lee have it in the column that dropped today. It was actually pretty funny. He called
like
him,
about what?
Well, he said, you know, why is he always standing up? He's sitting in the front row. Nobody's blocking his view. He's just, you know, I'm not saying these are my words because, you know, Spike Lee seems okay.
You loved it.
He called him a clown.
You hate Spike. Spike Lee is an American treasure and he can run around the court as much as he wants. In fact, I would, but because he's so tiny, it's like part of the show. I would be honored if Spike Lee danced past me and I had spent that much money for those seats. I would be honored because even though he's showboating, it's his moment. He's as connected to that franchise even more so than Billy Crystal to the Clippers or shoot Jack Nicholson. Like yeah. You see them.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah.
So I don't know. But I'll read Mushnick because, you know.
Well, he basically just called him a clown. He said, you know, he's wearing his little clown suit and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you know what? I look at Spike and I say, you know, he's been showing up for a really long time. So it's not like he decided all of a sudden to jump on the bandwagon with the Knicks. He's been there all along. But Trae Young, man, I'll tell you what. When he gets over half court, he's ready to shoot it. I mean, it's almost Steph Curry-like. And when he lets that thing go, I mean, it looks pretty good coming out of his hands pretty much every time. So
I mean, if Steph Curry declared himself open when he left the parking lot, Trae Young declared himself open when he left the womb.
Brum-bum-tsh.
I've been saving up for that one. Sorry.
All right. Speaking of hyped up teams and players, true or false, Mike? The NBA is completely screwed if the Nets don't make the finals because neither Philly nor Atlanta nor even the Greek Freak can save the ratings if there's not more genuine star power. Embellished thought or reality, Mike?
Reality, because, you know, unlike you and me, we're going to watch Utah-Milwaukee because we're intrigued by the storyline. We're intrigued by the basketball. America isn't. And so you don't have a lot of options here now that LeBron is out. The Celtics, a natural draw because they're from Boston, are out. The Knicks, of course, they're not going to be good for another few years. And this is a league that operates on star power. It needed LeBron James to go several rounds. If anything, this will put to bed the conspiracy theory that the NBA is always trying to work the officials to make sure the best matchups happen. Because there is no way that can happen unless New Jersey ends up against
Brooklyn, not New Jersey.
I'm sorry, New Jersey. Brooklyn ends up against the Clippers or, gosh, the Suns. Those are the only two. Those are the only two. I mean, Jokic, I'll watch him because he'd be so fun to watch in the finals. But, I mean, shoot. Chris Paul going up against Chris Paul and Devin Booker and that group and DeAndre Ayton and all those guys going up against, well, Harden. I don't know if he's going to play by then. But, and you got Irving like and Durant. That's a match made in heaven for the ratings. Other than that, what do you got? You got Utah and Milwaukee. Philly's not exciting anybody on the East Coast except for Philadelphia. Maybe, you know, I like watching Embiid. I like seeing Ben Simmons miss free throws. I don't know what else you're gonna really see there. So I'm sorry. I wish I could be more excited about it, but you know, Philly, Denver. You think that's gonna draw eyeballs? No. Milwaukee, Atlanta, Trae Young would be really exciting because it'd be such a Cinderella story. But you know, Atlanta, Utah, no, it's not happening. You need Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in these finals versus Chris Paul and Devin Booker or Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, or you're done. You're done. Adam Silver would have to go back and think that he'd had a very poor year as a league. I mean, there were a lot of superstars got hurt. They had some real COVID problems that they obviously didn't have in the bubble. You know, this was a year that you could look back and question the commissioner on.
Well, I think this is really going to be, you know, if James Harden is out for any kind of an extended period of time, and we already know he's not playing in game two, so we'll see what happens beyond that. Now Kyrie Irving, you know, the NBA's number one drama queen, gets a chance to really be the man. And guess what? He's going to get a big, healthy dose of Drew Holiday guarding him. Drew is a great defender. And I think Drew's like the happiest man alive because he doesn't have to deal with both of those guys. He can lock in on Kyrie, see what happens. But
you like Milwaukee winning that.
You know, it's funny. When Harden went down, you know, 40 whatever seconds into game one, it was like, oh boy, here it is. You know, Milwaukee's going to roll them. And that didn't happen. So again, Milwaukee trailing 0-1 on Brooklyn's home court is not the end of the world. You know, I think we'll see what happens now. We'll see if Mike Budenholzer can scheme against that team. They're going to have to really, you know, you got to figure if KD and Giannis sort of cancel each other out, you know, then it's going to be kind of Drew Holiday, Kyrie Irving, and then the role players, you know, the Chris Middletons, Joe Harris's, whatever. So, I mean, I'm not saying that Milwaukee's going to win. But that looks to me like a seven gamer at this point. And again, that's even without Harden. So we'll see what happens. But I think
you don't even have any animated coaches left. Doc Rivers and who? Doc Rivers and Ty Lue.
Nate McMillan and Budenholzer and Steve Nash.
Monty Williams. I'd love to see him win it all. He's not animated. Quinn Snyder.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, Michael Malone. Michael Malone. I like Michael Malone. He's crazy.
He's done a great job with those guys. Okay, crazy. Speaking of Michael Malone in the Suns-Nuggets series, it has all the makings of an Old West shootout. Who comes out of it alive? CP and D-Book or Jokic? I must break you, Jokic? And the Nuggets. I mean, Michael Porter Jr., what are you thinking there, Mikey?
Well, Bruce, the fact that you did this on Nikola, I must break you, Jokic, plays on every Eastern European stereotypical trope, and I think we should apologize for that. Okay.
Sorry, Serbia. Break you. Sorry, Serbia. My bad. Do we have any listeners in Serbia? I hope we do.
No. Look, the Euros are taking over the league, all right? So, you know, David Stern, God bless you. You outsourced our freaking game too much. But anyway, look, the bottom line is I don't think the Nuggets can get past Phoenix. I think Phoenix's style of play is so fast and they have so many weapons. And not that Jokic isn't going to get his numbers, not that, but when it comes down to it, I think the pace of play in this series is going to be dictated by the Suns, and I think they get past the Nuggets.
I think that'll be really, you know, really entertaining, and we'll see what happens. Okay, finally, before we put this bad boy to sleep, Brad Stevens, the coach who couldn't get my Celtics over the hump, just replaced Danny Ainge, the architect who could never parlay the 2008 title season into anything more than one additional Eastern Conference final or one additional Eastern Conference final championship in 2010 when they lost to Kobe. What about this decision? Horrible, heavenly, Mike, what are you thinking?
I don't dislike it as much as a lot of people do. And same thing about Kawhi, what we were talking about labels earlier. I can't, you know, and I like Chris Mannix knows more about the Celtics than I do. He used to be a ball boy with them. And he's got his own podcast now. Howard Beck, been on the show several times. I heard him on NBA Sirius Radio proclaim that Brad Stevens just didn't have the presence or the pedigree to, you know, actually get in those guys' faces and make them go, you know, and I go the other way. And I'll respect that, but it flies in the face of people like Frank Vogel and Ty Lue and Eric Spoelstra. None of those guys had the presence or the pedigree to do anything, and they all won championships. Why? Because they had better players. Danny Ainge didn't get Brad Stevens the players he needed to win a championship. Bottom line, now Brad Stevens gets his turn to stir the pot and do it and see if he can do it his way. Not that Danny Ainge did a bad job. I think he created a monster when they won in 2008 in some ways. And he gets, you know, Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett and puts them along with Paul Pierce. And all of a sudden, they have a special, special thing going. What happens after that is he becomes Trader Danny. He gets all these assets and he moves them left and right. And, you know, okay, he gets an Al Horford here and there. But, I mean, shoot. There was no consistency. It was like he was running a one-and-done Calipari program at point guard for a while. I mean, here's IT. Okay, great. He didn't work out. Oh, Kyrie. Oh, he didn't work out. Oh, let's go Kemba. Like, what the hell's going on? Have some continuity, Danny. He didn't, you know, so I just think that at some point he just loved playing the trader game, and at no point did they get that floor leader, consistent floor leader that needed to be that franchise. Yeah, the blocks of Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum, who's going to be an MVP candidate within 2 years, those are all there, but you still need that one guy that basically is the catalyst to stick around. And they don't have that guy right now. Kemba's not that guy, you know, newsflash.
No. Kemba, to me, would be an ideal sixth man for that team because they're not going to be able to trade him. He's got $73 million left over the next 2 years on his deal.
Oh, God,
guess what? Who's paying that money? So I think Kemba really could be an ideal sixth man for that team. And, you know, there's a couple other things. I think Danny became, you know, you and I are both sort of believers in karma, right? You know, and I think the karma started to catch up to Danny after the way he treated Isaiah Thomas when he traded him in that Kyrie Irving deal. You know, Kyrie ended up going south. You know, Gordon Hayward ended up leaving. Al Horford ended up leaving. I think it all started falling apart for Danny when he basically treated Isaiah Thomas as way more of a commodity when that little dude gave them everything. He's a guy, he was all heart and soul for that team. And sure, he was limited as a player, and almost anybody would have made the deal to bring Kyrie Irving, you know, in place of him. But
the way
the basketball gods were not happy with Danny after that. What do you think?
I think that's a great, I think there's something to be said for that. And I don't know if I believe in sports karma as much as I do life karma. If, you know, you treat somebody badly.
What's his life, Mike?
What's that? Sports is life. You're right. I remember there was this moment where Fran Blindberry for the Houston Chronicle, he was at the time, he's sitting next to me, and he was clearly a Jazz fan. I think we all were because we were tired of the Bulls at that point. And Dennis Rodman steps to the free throw line at some big moment. And he goes, if there is a God and karma in this world, he will miss these free throws. And of course, Rodman sunk both. And the Bulls went on to win the series. And there is no karma. Bad people sometimes win in sports. Dennis Rodman wasn't a bad person. But the Bulls kind of got on people's nerves, and they had such a superior, you know, a superiority complex that, look, whatever. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is, I don't think there's karma, but I think there's karma in life. And if you treat somebody bad, eventually that comes back to you. And he treated Isaiah Thomas bad.
He did. And
but whatever, was he forced to retire? You think? You don't think this was his decision?
You know, we had Steve Bulpet on Buckets, Boards, and Blocks the other day, longtime observer of the Celtics situation. Yeah. We asked him that question, and he said no. You know, as far as the ownership is concerned, Danny Ainge still could do no wrong. Same deal with Brad Stevens. So he didn't rule out the fact that Danny might resurface in another executive position with another team at some point. But yeah. Steve felt like, no, Danny, this was Danny's decision. And, it'll really be interesting to see. I mean, my personal choice as to who I think they should hire to replace Brad is Sam Cassell, who's currently an assistant with the Sixers. And Steve said, Chauncey Billups, an assistant with the Clippers, both teams mm-hmm. still alive, both doing very well. I would be happy with either of those two guys. And there's even talk about Kara Lawson, who was an assistant with the team, went to be the head coach for the Duke women, although they kind of canceled their season. So her experience as a head coach in college probably consists of some recruiting and running some practices, but she's really highly regarded. We both know
her. Oh, yeah. No, I know Kara. I think
she's brilliant. She would be.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's brilliant. Yeah. I almost think that would be any time a woman is named head coach of an NBA team, it's going to be a milestone. That's going to happen at some point. Do you do that right now? I don't know. I don't know. If you believe she's going to be the best coach for your team, go for it. I was thinking somebody like, why don't you try to get Mike Malone from Denver?
Yeah, well, they may want to keep him. I thought here was a name I threw out there. And again, I'm not saying there's a reasonable chance of this happening, but Patrick Ewing was an assistant for three NBA teams, Houston, Orlando, and Charlotte. He had a really good season coaching Georgetown, got him to the NBA finals. He grew up in Boston.
Well, he got him to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, if he got him
to the NBA finals, he'd be a shoe-in as the coach.
Yeah, good point. He got the Knicks there a couple times.
Yeah, maybe. You're right.
Anyway, but I think Patrick Ewing, as a native of Boston, I think the Celtics fans would embrace him if they brought him in.
Cambridge Ringe in Latin.
Cambridge Ringe, who played against my high school, Brockton High, in the Suburban League. And beat the living snot out of them every time they played. But they did that to everybody. So anyway, look, whoever they come up with, whether it's Chauncey, Sam, Kara, someone else, Celtics fans are in for an interesting offseason for sure.
I think so as well. Well, looking forward to the rest of the playoffs. I kind of wanted Luka Doncic to survive because he's so fun to watch, but oh well, What do you do? Oh, by the way, what do you do with Rick Carlisle? You keep going there? He's got knocked out like so many first rounds in a row.
Cuban already said he's keeping him. So, I think that came out to, I'll tell you who I think is overrated with a capital O is Kristaps Porzingis. If you look at him yesterday or on Sunday, he was 6-for-12 from the field, right? Not bad. 6-for-7 on twos, 0-for-5 on threes. Get your big ass closer to the hoop, use your 7'3" height, and maybe you'll live up to your potential. I think he's a huge disappointment.
You know why I was rooting for Dallas in that series? It was like the return of the big man, how do you say his name?
Boban Marjanovic. Marjan Boban.
Oh my God, he was like, it was incredible. It was like he was just this monster person, and he like just give me ball. I put in. Apparently, he's the nicest guy too. Everybody says Marcus Morris said he was. I like whenever a big guy can take over a series like a Jokic or whatever. Porzingis looked like he was doing some things near the basket. They fell apart in the second half. I mean, there was.
He is soft.
But anyway, and Damian Lillard's gone now, and I love Dame Dollar. And like the players I really like to watch, some of them are out of the playoffs now. Westbrook and Beal are home.
LeBron.
LeBron.
Steph.
I mean, whether you love him or hate him, you love to see him play this time of year. So it's going to be tough. I mean, the teams that survive now have a big thing to fill. I wouldn't make any crazy decisions as a franchise until COVID was really out of the way.
Yeah.
Because this was a 72-game sprint. Look at all the guys that got hurt. I mean, there were so many guys. Anthony Davis missed 37 games this year. Harden missed, I think, 28. Durant missed 20. Missed,
like, almost 30.
Yeah. I mean, all these guys. So I would wait to make any real decisions. That's why I was shocked, apropos of nothing, why Duke decided to name John Shire the coach right away. Like, you can't wait a second, see who's available? Like, what is that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think Coach K, you know, they have a new athletic director there too, I think. I don't know the person's name, but it might even be a woman, although I'm not positive. Not that that matters, but I don't think anybody.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know why?
Because
the athletic director job at Duke is like probably the third most important position in the athletic department.
Well, the AD at Duke probably says to Coach K, what do you want, a 6-iron or a 7-iron?
Right. Yeah. I mean, what are the, yeah.
Yeah. Let me wipe the dirt off of your golf ball for you.
Yeah. I just, right.
Okay. All right, Mike. Have we had enough,
Bruce?
Have we had enough discussing for now?
We have. Thank you so much for your time. And yeah, this was good.
Thank you.
That was dope.
Bruce Bernstein, thank you for joining me. Now hit us with the promos.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, as always, for allowing me to join you on the show. Thanks also to the unbelievable Kristen Woolley, our great editor. Please check out all of our Pure Hoops Media shows. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin is here every Wednesday. And their guest this week will be college hoop expert Jeff Goodman, who's going to have a few things to say about the post-Coach K era at Duke, like whether he should hit a 5-iron, 6-iron, or 7-iron. Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure drops on Thursday. BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman have the Pure Hoops podcast each Friday. And, of course, a new Mike Wise show with my man Mike every Monday. And if you'd like to hear more selected choice discussions from all of our shows, subscribe to the Pure Hoops Media Quick Hitters. And we have many great video segments on our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search for Pure Hoops Media. Mike.
Thank you, Bruce. Once again, a bunch of sponsors have joined the show, including Monster Truck Spectacular, Grave Digger, this Sunday, Hagerstown Fairgrounds. Be there. Now that COVID-19 vaccinations are widely available, get one. Full stop. If you are one of the fools who hasn't gotten a vaccination, keep wearing the mask in public to protect yourselves and others. And don't lie about your vaccinations just to get into somewhere.
That's right.
Darn it. And really, go get the shot. Keep your guard up and be smart. Until next time, aloha.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.